This is Lou Quinones. I am the acting board chairman for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. How are you doing?
Good, yourself?
Good. The hearing lead is going to be the Honorable Mr. David Mino, and I will turn over the board to him. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay, hang on just a minute. Do you all hear from Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Do any of you wish to speak?
Yes.
All four of you?
Three of us.
Just two?
Three.
Okay, then. When we get to the swearing in, all three of you have to be sworn in. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, Mr. Peters, here's some supporters here in the boardroom with us today. That's what I'm discussing with them. Would you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Garrison Lee Peters, 246-217.
Thanks, sir. You are clear for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision delegation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Lou Quinones, the Honorable Gary Rittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson, my name is David Neal, and I will be the hearing lead. Also, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. Okay, prior to this hearing, you received notification for a live view of this board hearing. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and first of all, do you remember that form, sir?
Can you repeat yourself, please?
Okay, prior to the hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing?
Yes.
Okay. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay. This time, I'm going to swear you, Mr. Turner, and your three supporters in. Do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases this afternoon. In phase one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, you will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are under the arrest warrant. And then after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. And if you say it's false, we'll get some more information from Mr. Turner and we'll talk about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
Allegation number one, violates the Arizona condition of supervision number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 975 South Royal Palm Road, number C-102, Apache Township, Arizona, on or about February 24th, 2018, about the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown as you were on schedule for supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, thank you. Allegation number two is violation of the Arizona condition of supervision number four, as demonstrated by your failure to attend substance abuse counseling as directed on January 8th, 2018. That is true or false, sir?
One January or what?
It was January 8th of 2018.
Is when I got released, correct?
No, that's when you were directed to. To take the substance abuse counseling.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And based on the admissions of Mr. Peters, I'm going to move to find legal delinquent as a violator in terms of the division of the supervision, and that you may have after the back lapse of the criminal wages and company.
Second.
Agree. Just a moment, sir. Okay, sir. We're getting ready to move into phase two of your hearing, but before we do, Mr. Turner, we'll give some background information. So stay on the line there, and I'll get back to you in a moment.
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Peters was released from ADC custody on 9/25/17 and arrested on 4/10/18 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit, along with the assistance of the U.S. Marshals. No new charges. Was received back to ADC custody on 4/10/2018 with an adjusted release date of 1/7/2019 with 44 absconded. Current conviction 2012, burglary second degree, 6 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2009, commitment A, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year. 2009, commitment B, escape second degree, 1 year. 2010, criminal trespassing first degree, 1 year. This is his third term with ADC. He currently has a CUIR score of 3-4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. He is an admitted member of the current criminal street gang AZ Most Wanted. Prior terms on supervision, 2010, TIS release, absconded for 5 days, arrested on new felony criminal trespassing, reached his CSED in jail. 2011, TIS release, completed 4 months. Disciplinary is moderate, with drugs and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest, 2008, theft, Arizona juvenile detention. Also in 2008, trafficking and stolen property, Arizona juvenile detention. Also in 2008, resisting arrest, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a current GB score of G8, B9.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's approve. We're going to go over the summary of your case supervision. It seemed that prior to being released from prison, you were approved to reside with your mother, Laura Conway and Dr. Johnson. You reported your approved place of residence and your whereabouts were unknown. Where did you go from there, sir?
I went to stay with my wife and my children due to the situation that they were sick. And I take my responsibility as not informing my PO about it. And when she made contact with my mother on March 4th, my mother contacted me to advise me that my PO showed up, and I contacted my PO to let her know that my wife and children are sick, and I apologize for not contacting you ahead of time, and I've been staying with them and taking care of them due to the fact that her my wife's family members also have work and jobs and everything, so there's nobody there to support them, and I was stressed out, concerned over their health. And once I made contact with my PO, after she made contact with my mother, I advised her that I've been staying with my wife and my children due to the situation of them being sick, and I thought I could prove and bring in all the documentation and the doctor's papers and everything. My PO told me, don't worry about it, continue as followed, and which I did. Now, one was issued for my arrest that I had no prior knowledge of even knowing, period, and as you know, the Fugitive Apprehension Unit came and arrested me. When I was arrested, I was caught off guard because, once again, I had no knowledge of me even knowing that I had a warrant out for my arrest, because when I last time I did speak to my parole officer, she did advise me to go ahead and continue to follow, which I did. Continued working, and I continued to follow all my programs. And I sit back in the Department of Corrections due to a warrant being issued for my arrest that I had no knowledge of even knowing.
Okay, well, I said, but usually you don't call me up and tell you they're going to issue a warrant for you. When did you approximately, when did you talk to your PO and she told you it was okay to be there?
That was on the 4th, the day that she went to my mother's, my approved residence, to do a face-to-face contact with me. My mom actually called me to let me know that my PO showed up, and I sent my PO a text message letting her know that I would like to speak with her, and I called her. And I spoke to her on the phone for approximately, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so, and I let her know the situation of what's going on, and like I said, she told me to just continue my program as followed, and, you know, the next time that I have a scheduled meeting to bring in the papers and so forth and so on, and I continued to do that, and the Fugitive Apprehension Unit arrested me.
Okay, but the 4th of what?
Say that again?
You said it was on the 4th, the 4th of what?
March.
March 4th? Mr. Turner.
Yes, I'm actually reading the OMS note from the 4th that Parole Officer Martinez, Marinas, provided. So spoke to the offender regarding his whereabouts. He stated the kids and wife have been sick and he has been staying with them. The offender did not provide her with an address where he was staying. He was directed to report to the Mesa Regional Parole Office on 3/5/18, no later than 900 hours. To provide the address where he had been staying. The offender acknowledged that he understood and he would report.
Thank you, sir. Did you hear that, Mr. Pierce?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So you talked to him on the 4th and she told you to come in with the address on the 5th for you didn't comply?
No.
No?
My PO and my wife was there when I spoke to my PO. My phone was on speakerphone because I got done speaking with my mom, and I told her, I said, hey, my PO came over and seen my mom, and my wife was present during the time that I spoke with my PO, and my PO never even advised me. The only thing that was stated during the phone call was that once in the next time that I need to apply to go, which is my scheduled meeting date, was that I needed to bring in the doctor's paperwork and everything that provides to show proof that my wife and my children were sick at the time.
Okay. Well, in your recovery, I said that she told you to report her the next day, which we didn't give her an address. And I know from the policies and stuff, if you were not living in an address, you were not somewhere where they can go and confirm you, then there's a huge violation in the terms of the community supervision. So you're saying that she didn't tell you to report her the next day and bring an address?
No, all she stated to me was to continue as follows, and the next time, on my next reporting date, to bring in the paperwork and everything, address included, obviously, but she never told me to report on the 5th. All she stated to me was that the next time, my scheduled meeting, to bring in the documentations and to continue as follows, which I did. I continued going to work and I continued programming as I was supposed to, abiding by the law, and then once again, I was arrested by Fiji Happy Engine Unit, you know, with no knowledge, period, that I even had a warrant, and I was continuing. I just got off of work that morning when I was arrested.
Mr. Turner?
Yes, according to the OMS notes, his next report date would have been 3:15 in the office, if not seen prior, and he did not report. There's no indication that he had reported to the office. That's where we get on 3-4 with the attempted face-to-face contact at his residence with his mom. His mom stated that he had not been staying there. The residence stated that he had been staying with his wife at her place of residence. There was a follow-up to his place of work on 3-8. He spoke to an RCLA at the offender's place of employment. She stated that the offender was no longer employed at the Taco Bell / Long John Silver.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, I do have a question that I thought I'd sir, with your peers. Why weren't you approved to stay with your wife and children?
Because my wife, prior to my last violation due to a misdemeanor that was dismissed, she ended up moving to Nebraska to stay with a friend due to no place of residence in the state of Arizona. And one of the individuals that should be there speaking on my behalf, my grandpa, he actually put her into an apartment, or the apartment that she was staying in was a gated community, and they would not accept for me to be on the lease. So the lease was up in the end of April. And so the last time I spoke with the board, my mom's address was originally proof of when I got released back in September. So my parole officer went ahead and reinstated that address as my followed address from the last time on my violation because it was already an approved address. So I never took the time to go on or even request to parole to my wife's address where she was staying at due to the fact that the lease was going to be up in April, and not only that, it was also a gated community. So I already had an approved residence at mine, which is where I went when I got out.
Well, let me ask this, when you got out and went to your mom's house, did you know it? Did you have the intent to go ahead and go to your wife's house there afterwards?
No. I would see my wife during the daytime when I worked at Long John Silver's, and I would stay at my mom's at nighttime. Okay. During the daytime, I'd spend time with my wife and my children, and the days that I'd have work, I'd obviously go to work.
Okay. So, what were the illnesses? How many children do you have?
Two.
And what were the illnesses that all three had at the same time?
At the time, my wife, well, her health right now is so-and-so as well, but at the time, she was having really bad heart palpitations, and her white blood cells were very low and low iron, and she was constantly getting sick and coughing up blood. And then my younger son, actually, his congestion, one of the nights I actually took my son to the hospital off adoption due to the fact that his airways were clogging up and he was having a hard time breathing, and he also has asthma as it is.
Okay. Let me see if I thought board members have any questions for you at this time. This in the house.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. And Mr. Peters, you mentioned that specifically this, we were talking around March 4th and March 5th, and you indicated that you were complying with everything and taking doing your programming and et cetera, and that one of your missed sessions for MRTC open class was on March 7th. Why did you miss that class?
That was due to my new job that I applied to that I started working at. I started working at a construction company called Ideal Construction.
But you just told us you were complying with your treatment.
Yes, that is correct.
You're not complying, sir. You missed it.
Okay, and I accept that. I missed that class due to me getting a new job. When I quit Long John Silver's, I got a new job doing construction. So I attended my construction class, my job, and I missed that class due to my job. Now, part of my parole was just to also have a job. Now, I was getting paid $11 an hour out of Long John Silver's, and it wasn't cutting it for my paychecks or even to help take care of my family. So I went and I looked for a new job, and I got hired on a construction company doing constructions, and we would work on nights. My classes are night classes from 5:30 to 7. The construction company that I was working for, there's times that we would leave for work around 5 o'clock. Sometimes we would leave at 8 o'clock at night, and sometimes we wouldn't get off in the morning until 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. So that class that I missed on March 7th was due to my new job at Ideal Construction that I was working at.
Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Rittenhouse.
Sir, I was going back to the back part of it. It says here that you were suspended twice from the CMC program. You missed classes at MRTCAP on October 19th, November 15th, February 21st, and then again on March 7th. So you weren't, even at that time, you weren't complying with the condition of your release.
On October 19th, I was released from prison on September 25th, 2017. On October 19th, 2017, I was in my parole office, which the supervisor that there shipped out for this, that I was actually doing a job interview in my PO's office at a job fair on that day.
Okay, so you missed the class, didn't you?
Yes, I missed that class because
And all I'm saying is you're missing the classes. And according to this, you were taking 12 out of 36 sessions, which is not living up to what you're supposed to do for completing that class.
Okay. Correct. Now,
if there's no other question to the program at this time, I'm going to ask your supporters to come up. You come up whichever order you want. Okay.
Who's first?
Yeah, come up to the podium and state your name. And then tell us what you'd like to say.
I'm Donna, and I'm Garrison's mom. Garrison, when he got out, yeah, he was staying with me. He was doing really well. I've been through a lot with my son, in and out, for many, many years, but I've always had his back. He's my boy. He married Ariana, and, he adopted his two little boys. He had a struggle with trying to learn how to be a man. Learn how to become a father, learn how to become a husband, to do the right things. Yes, he has made his mistakes, and I do say that he's probably maybe didn't do it according to the courts and according to the law and his parole, but his heart was in the right place. I know Ariana's going in and out of the hospital, the EKGs and this and that, she had blood, she was throwing up blood, she was doing everything else. She did leave my house to go be with the boys. They were sick. He was trying to learn how to cope with taking care of a sick wife, plus trying to work, plus trying to do his parole, plus trying to do this, and it's really hard. And when you only have the one car, I was trying to help as much as possible. It's kind of hard. You miss some things. When you live out in Apache Junction, your classes are in Mason, your wife's in the hospital over here, and you got your boys sitting over here, and they're by themselves, and there's nobody to babysit because I'm at work. Which road do you take? Do you leave your wife in the hospital where she's really sick in the emergency room? Or do you leave your kids in the daycare because there's nobody to pick them up? Or do you go over here? I mean, my son's trying to do the best that he can. It's really hard to, and he's gotten it. And of course, he probably didn't do things correctly according to his role or according to the state law. And I grant that. But he was not wrapped up in the AVB like you're saying. He has not been affiliated with them. He has no part of them. He's deleted all his phone numbers. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He doesn't have his Facebook page. He doesn't. He had it covered up. He doesn't want any part of that. He relies on his wife and his children. That's his mechanism. That's his coping skill. He's trying to do the best he can. I mean, he's been locked up for many, many years, and he has turned his life around. He might not have done it according to the way that you guys, he's supposed to do it to the state of law, but he is trying. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink. He doesn't. He's there. Yes, in the 2 weeks that he wasn't at my house, he was taking care of his wife and his children. So please, just give him a chance to keep trying. I mean, he's not going out stealing cars. He's not going out locked up in the gang. He's not going out. He missed the classes and did everything. His heart was in his right, take care of his wife and his children. That's all I have to say.
Okay, any questions on the board? No questions, thank you. Who'd like to go next?
Hi. My name is Ariana Rose, or Ariana Peters. I'm Garrison Peters' wife. I know that he should have done things differently, but as everyone has said, I'm still to this day extremely ill, and I've been in and out of the hospital even since he's been gone. We have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. My 3-year-old was sick with the influenza at the same time I was sick in the hospital. I was not able to leave the hospital and check myself out and get my son to the hospital. He had to be there. I know he should have been more focused on parole, but his heart was really in the right place. Since he has left, my kids have suffered a great deal. My 6-year-old is so attached to his dad that it's caused so many behavioral issues that he doesn't know how to cope, and that he doesn't understand why his dad's not there. He didn't ever see his dad do anything wrong, and he didn't, because his voice, all he wanted to do and all he did do was go to work, come home and take care of me, because there was some days I couldn't even get out of bed to take care of the kids, and he was there. I never would have asked him to come and leave his residence, knowing it would violate him if I wasn't extremely sick. I'm still going to heart doctors. I go to the Higley Banner Gateway Cancer Center for my white blood cells. I've submitted medical paperwork. I submitted 3 letters last Monday of other people that on Garrison's behalf know that he just wants to do right, and he got caught up in how to balance everything the right way. And he really is a wonderful man, and he deserves to be let out and be with his family. And I know that he'll, even with my health conditions, I know this time he will do everything by the book. And it's not to say that he wasn't trying to do everything by the book the last time, because he was, but he just got so caught up in it. And I mean, if any of you have ever had anybody sick, you know it consumes you, and whether you're knowing whether they're going to be okay. And any family member would do the same thing. So I just want to say that thank you for letting me speak today, and I really do hope that you consider letting him have another chance, because he is a really good, hardworking man that does not want to go back to his old ways, and he's tried. After doing 6.5 years, he's adapted pretty well to society, and by not going back, and I know he won't. So thank you for your time.
Just a quick question, and ma'am, this is not your hearing, so it's not to scrutinize you, but you left the state for a while?
Yeah, that was, I left in
right before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in shortly before, I believe, November. I left for a while. He had gotten sent or gotten locked up, and me and my kids went and lived with my best friend. And I was down there so I would have help and everything.
I understand. I just want to understand, just to make sure that there wasn't like other issues going on or domestic violence or anything.
No, nothing domestic, nothing.
No. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Good afternoon, board.
It's been a long day for me as well. My name is Joe Cashman. I'm a friend of the family's. They call me Grandpa because I kind of look like one. I've known Garrison since I've known Ariana, and he was incarcerated. He got out, and he went back, and he got out. And that's when I met him. And to be real honest with you, I've been involved in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. And one of the things I've learned that is most important is that we help each other. Garrison either came to my house or talked to me daily when he was out. He even wanted to talk to me about what should I do about Ariana and the kids. I gotta be there. It got to the point where he had to call an ambulance and run because he was afraid to have contact with anybody in uniform. That's terrible. You know, something you said about gangs, did you say he was affiliated with gangs? He no longer is. He hasn't for over 2 years. He's still got the ink, but that's, you know. When he was afraid that he was going to go back this time, he said, I hope they don't put me on this yard or this yard or this yard because they're all political. He doesn't want that in his life anymore. What he wants is he wants his wife, he wants his boys, and I decided to help them because I believe in him. The guy had a job, he had a good job, he's making good money, and he got picked up. And he was at my house one time, one afternoon, and he called his parole officer twice and texted her. He was at my house for about 2 hours and no answer. And I thought, well, you know, I understand a parole officer's got big cases, got a lot of big load. But, you know, this could have been resolved without this happening. All he wanted to do was take care of his wife and his boys. And I really think the misjustice has been carried out non-intentionally, but he's a good man, and he is becoming a man. You know, while he knew there was a possibility he could go back and be incarcerated again, he continued to work his job and bring money home for his family so they could live and eat. And that means a lot to me. That tells me that he's become a man. He doesn't want to go out and hang out on the streets and stuff. He wants to be with his family. And I also love his boys, and we miss him so much. So, that's all I really have to say. Anybody got a question for me?
I just have one comment, and that's that the information we have could have been resolved with him just showing up at the PO's office with the address. Now, it wasn't approved address.
Okay.
But they couldn't discuss it. And all I'm saying is that effort with the parole officers is, and the parole officers are working really, really hard not to reincarcerate people.
Okay.
They make a lot of adjustments.
I would like to address that.
Okay.
He went to see his parole officer, and she threw him in jail. So this time when she said, you'll be in my office at this day and this time, he got scared. And I would have been too. And you know, I would have done the same thing that he has done to take care of my family, regardless if I'd be in the same situation. He doesn't belong in jail. He really doesn't. He's a good young man.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Peters.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end of your hearing at this time. Unless there's any other question from the board. No? Okay, we're nearing the end of your hearing at this time. The board will be going into discussion of the determination in a few minutes. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement, tell us anything else you think we should know. We just ask that you don't repeat the information that's already been given to us.
Okay. All I would like to say is that I want to own up for not contacting my parole officer. I love my family to death. I love everybody there at that board. All my family support everybody. I've let everything in the past because my mind is a juvenile. I used to be jumbled. But ever since my wife came into my life and gave me a second chance to realize what life is really about, I can never be more thankful for that. I was out numerous times. I got out in September and I did everything I was complying to. I had a job. I did the exact same thing. And I came back and I got out and I did the exact same thing. Granted, yes, I didn't contact my PO. Granted, I didn't give the change of address to my parole officer. I'm sorry for that. That doesn't make me a bad person. I love my family and I love everybody there to death. I myself own up to my errors that I made. Everything that I did in my past as a juvenile is when I was a juvenile. But since then, I'm 27. I'm not trying to spend the rest of my life in prison. I'm trying to provide for my family and have my own children someday. I want to settle down. I want to live a life like every other living civilian that does it on a day-to-day basis. And they go to work and they provide for their family. And that's what I was doing. But I don't want to spend the rest of my life in prison. I'm done making mistakes. I made a mistake now when I'm contacting my parole officer, and I'm sorry for that. All I ask the board is to please consider my reinstatement and understand that I'm a good man and I have a good heart. I'm not out there using drugs and I'm not out there committing crimes. All I did was not report to my parole officer and give her a change of residence. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, sir. So before we go into the discussion with you on the termination, you would like to stay on the phone and listen to the discussion, but we'll be talking amongst ourselves. And if you think we're addressing you, we'll be able to just be discussing your case. So remain silent, but stay on the phone. And you can hear the entire discussion on the decision, and once the decision is made, I'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good word of that discussion. Well, this is an unfortunate case for sure. Generally, it seems like Mr. Peters was making an effort and trying to return him to community supervision. But it was, I can understand getting caught up in his family's health issues and not being able to handle everything that's going on. But the biggest part of the problem is a lack of communication and contact with his PO. The January was released from Cuba on a UNC release that he had been out violating his parole, his community supervision, literally incarcerated against one day of returned community supervision, And we still couldn't follow all the rules. And compliance with the substance abuse, and a lot of times, someone's game can be changed by the POs if it's a matter of family issues and work and everything. But it seemed like with everything involved here, it boils down to not reporting in one time by mandating my reporting, it actually aggravated the circumstances hugely. With the fact that they're bringing this by the OEC and violating that release, and standing for 44 days where I know he had contacted his PO, Joe, really didn't know where he was at, so there's no way she determined whether he was associated with criminals or taking care of his wife or anything else like that at the time. And that's why the warrants were issued. But they told me based on those factors, I just really have a problem with putting someone in for recurrent community supervision this time. It's already been referred once by the BNC at the monitoring of that. I don't know if there's been a discussion with somebody, fellow board members at this time. Any discussion?
I just want to add, not to belabor this, it is very hard to consider a reinstate after he's already been reinstated and had 44 days of absconding. I do want to acknowledge, though, that I think there is some growth going on with Mr. Peters. He's had a juncture in his life that I think is predictable in young people between ages of 25 and 30. And I would hope that regardless of how this board votes today, that he takes really advantage of this time in his life to turn the corner and move on, because he does have support out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Do you have any comments? Based on all the information, board number 2018W0755 and the testimony of Mr. Peters and information from the Department of Corrections, I am going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Peters as he was delinquent, violated the current condition of supervision, and had a lapse or about to lapse in a criminal release for company, and very specifically, there are 44 days of scouting where we had no idea what he was doing for sure, where he was actually at, other than, you know, his statements, and he couldn't state to keep track of it. So that is my motion.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Great.
Your Honors, are you going to let him serve out his sentence and be free? Is that what the plan is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Peters, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You've heard the discussion, I hope, and understand what we're talking about. Is that correct? Mr. Peters?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you heard the discussion and understand what we were discussing?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, and what this means is that you will be released on about January 7th of 2019. At that time, unless you commit some other violations inside, which you seem to believe yourself in there at this point in time, you would be released and you would not be under the scrutiny of the Department of Corrections anymore. You can live with your wife wherever she's at. And we would hope that you would continue on the path of not committing any crimes and turning your life around, get out there and doing it. But because, you know, you were at least once before by DOEC, and when you still violate a condition, turn the conditions again, it was one of the biggest deciding factors. Don't take this as a negative. Take it as a chance to finish out what you have been recommended by the courts and be done with it. And never have to be in the Department of Corrections again. And we do wish you all the best in the working world, and we hope that you and your family have a wonderful life together. So this will end your hearing, sir.
Thank you.
And if you could please feel free to have a phone.